Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast focused on supporting victims of domestic violence and abuse in the workplace. We know at Vodafone that this is an important issue, and we have focused on it particularly over the last year since launching our policy to support victims in the workplace. Research commissioned by the Vodafone Foundation last year showed that 37%, or 1 in 3, working people that were surveyed across multiple industries and at varying levels of seniority have experienced domestic violence and abuse. In addition, 67% said that it had affected their career progression. And we know that anyone can be a victim of domestic violence and abuse, and that it can take place in all types of relationships, whatever the gender or sexual orientation of the partners. But it's worth remembering that women are predominantly the victims. And we saw this in the KPMG research in November of last year, which showed that 80 million working women across 107 countries, which is approximately 15% of the female workforce, have experienced domestic violence in 2019. These figures are increasingly relevant now when we look at the COVID-19 pandemic and the fact that there's an increase in domestic violence during the pandemic, which is why today we're focused on reminding everyone of the support that we have in place for victims at Vodafone and for our managers and colleagues. And particularly, we're going to focus over the next 2 podcasts on how to look for signs of abuse, particularly in a remote working environment, and how we can help victims. So joining me for the podcast today is Dr. Jane Pillinger. Jane is a global expert on violence and harassment at work. She's worked with the UN Women, International Labour Organization, companies and social partners in finding workplace solutions to all forms of gender-based violence. Jane helped us in the development of our own global policy and the Employer's Toolkit. Welcome, Jane. Tell us how domestic violence and abuse has accelerated during COVID-19.
Hi, Claudine, and thanks very much for inviting me to your podcast. Let me just start by defining what we mean by domestic violence and abuse, because it's referred to in different contexts in different countries. Some countries refer to it as intimate partner violence, some as family or carer violence, some just as domestic abuse, some as domestic violence. But it involves a range of abuses: physical, verbal, sexual, emotional, psychological abuse. And it can also involve, and this is where it's really important around the workplace, it can involve financial and economic abuse and control. And it can also involve stalking around the workplace or around the home. And we know that during confinement, this abuse is getting worse and the risks of abuse are much greater. So what we need to do is to take account of the fact that domestic violence and abuse often involves control, coercion, threatening behaviour and abuse. And sometimes it can take place over time. It can start often with very small acts of abuse. And these can get worse and worse as the relationship develops. And in some cases, it will continue after a relationship has ended. What we know is that keeping victims of domestic violence in employment is absolutely crucial to their long-term financial independence and to building independent lives. And that's why a large majority of women who have been able to leave an abusive relationship have said that actually having an independent income was one of the most important factors that enabled them to leave the relationship. Now, even before the COVID-19 pandemic, we knew that 1 in 3 of all women experienced physical and sexual abuse. Claudine has mentioned the Vodafone survey and the KPMG modelling. So we know that the abuse is often referred to as a silent pandemic. And we know that sometimes in many countries, it's a vast underestimation of the true levels of domestic abuse. And we know that factors such as guilt, shame, victim blaming, along with many of the effects of coercive control, have the effect of stripping victims of their confidence. And these are many of the reasons why victims don't report domestic abuse. Working remotely, where employees are isolated from their colleagues, from their managers, from sources of support during working time, makes that reporting and seeking support even harder. And we know that since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, in most countries, there's been at least a 50% increase in reported cases of domestic violence. This is of people seeking support from the police or from a domestic violence organisation. So, for example, we've had recent information from Mexico that there's been an increase in 60% of cases. In France, since the first 2 weeks of the lockdown, there was a doubling of calls to the National Helpline. In the UK, there was a 49% increase in calls every day to a UK helpline since the start of the lockdown. And they're just some of the examples of the increasing risk of domestic abuse. But one thing that's also really interesting is that we know from Italy that there was actually a 55% drop in the number of calls to their domestic violence helpline, Telefona Rosa, which is their national helpline, because victims simply couldn't get to a phone and make a call. And we know also that in several countries, femicide has doubled in the first few weeks of the lockdown when you compare to the same period of time in the week before. And it's quite interesting, actually, as we look at the countries that are beginning to lift the lockdowns in Spain, in Italy, in France, we've seen that calls for help and legal assistance have gone up simply because people can actually get out of the house, possibly to the workplace, and they can get to a telephone and they can find support from, for example, a manager or a domestic violence agency. And I think it's worth just saying that in many countries across the world, we've seen a really big increase in media attention to this issue, perhaps the biggest media attention that has ever been given to domestic violence. And we've seen many countries now introducing the concept of domestic violence services, access to the courts, the police, legal services, public information, and so on, is determined as an essential service. So the countries where lockdowns still exist, it's possible for survivors of domestic violence to be able to legitimately leave the house in order to access an essential service. And that's really good news. But I think it's you know, maybe just to say, you know, with people working from home increasingly, and even when lockdowns finish and confinement is in effect lifted, we're going to see more and more people in the future working from home. So we need to understand that the workplace can also be the home. And it's worth reiterating that domestic violence and abuse is an abuse of power that can impact on the workplace in many ways. So it can affect performance. It can affect a person's capacity to stay working. And it's also a safety and security issue. So if it's happening in the home and the workplace is a home, we need to be thinking about that more seriously. And there may also be situations where employees of Vodafone are in different situations, and they may need different and tailored support and help. So when somebody is working remotely from home, it might be that financial stress, living in a confined space, has aggravated existing tensions, and it might mean that giving support and help can be much more difficult. It can be harder to recognise the problem in the first place, as appearing stressed or not responding to a call could actually be a result of something else that's happening around childcare or other problems during the lockdown. So we need to be more attentive to this. And I'd just like to add that Vodafone's groundbreaking policy and guidance in the employer's toolkit is as relevant today as it was when it was first launched. But it means that we've had to come up with ways to adapt it to these changing circumstances and the heightened risks from confinement. So adapting the recognise, respond and refer model that has been developed with Vodafone and the guidance that has been adapted to take account of the increased risks during remote working does mean that actually there's ways in which managers, colleagues can look at different ways that they can support their colleagues. But just to say also, Claudine, that, you know, with the basic principles and awareness that are already in place through the global webinars and training that has been carried out through the global policy, through the toolkit and so on, With those basic principles and awareness in place, it is possible to offer support, safety, and information to colleagues working from home in the future.
Jane, thank you for that. The importance of keeping employment so that victims can maintain their financial independence is one of the reasons we developed the policy for Vodafone to ensure that we support victims in the workplace so that they can keep employment and maintain their financial independence. So now, more than ever, it's important that all of our colleagues, all of our managers remember that we have a policy in place to support victims in the workplace, and this applies to all of our employees. The purpose of the policy is to support people who are impacted by domestic violence and abuse so that they can have the necessary support and take time away from work to seek assistance without any financial consequence. The policy offers support to colleagues who might not be directly affected, but are supporting friends or family who are victims of domestic abuse. And paid time off can be taken at the discretion of your line manager. But as part of each market policy, employees have access to local support, specialist counseling, and are offered up to 10 days paid safe leave. Other workplace supports include safety planning in the workplace. An example of this is changing your work location, changing your email address, or alternating your working patterns. And if you feel comfortable, please speak directly with your line manager or HR. And in all cases where you're disclosing to Vodafone, please rest assured that Vodafone recognizes and respects an employee's right to privacy and the need for confidentiality. Vodafone will maintain the confidentiality of an employee's disclosure. In addition to our policy, Vodafone have provided an employer's toolkit for other companies who are interested in implementing a policy on domestic violence and abuse to support their employees. The toolkit gives guidance on the policy, its implementation, and additional resources. Because of the increase of domestic violence during the COVID-19 pandemic, additional guidance has been added to the employer's toolkit. This guidance is specific to helping victims in a remote working environment. And on this topic, Jane, can you advise colleagues what to do to support victims, particularly in the context of a remote working environment, which most of us are now in?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult situation when somebody's working from home during a lockdown, because it can be far harder to provide those supports. You know, when we have the workplace, when people go into the workplace, it can sometimes have a protective factor where, you know, an employee can talk to a colleague, to a manager, they might be able to access supports from a domestic violence agency during working time while they're away from an abuser, and so on. So having that possibility in the workplace makes it much more difficult. So what we also know, that there's a likelihood that abuse will potentially lead to a much more greater disruption of a person's work. So it can be very difficult to make a call to a helpline, or to talk to a manager, or to carry out work tasks. So this is why it's been important to adapt the recognise, respond and refer model. So for example, it's much harder to see the signs of domestic violence when somebody is working remotely. You know, if the contact is only by telephone, text and email, or other online contact, it can be really difficult to know that the domestic abuse is happening. And we have to remember also that when people are in a confined situation, they may be more fearful about disclosing domestic violence. So it does mean that we need to be much more attentive to the potential signs. And some of these typical signs could be, for example, it could be somebody who's more distant, not fully participating in an online team meeting. They may have turned off the video. There might be signs of tiredness or distress or anxiety. They may not be answering telephones and be called away, or they could be interrupted by a partner when they're on the phone, for example. So I think those are really important, to be just more attentive to the signs and recognising the problem. And this means making it possible for colleagues to speak out about any problems that they're facing. And being confined can also lead to further abuses that risk the health and security and safety of a victim, and indeed their children at home. You know, it could be that somebody is being denied access to soap or hand sanitizers, or they, you know, they could be threatened with being thrown out of the home with nowhere to go. Or they could be denied the chance to leave the home to go out and do the shopping in the supermarket or to go to the pharmacy, where it might be possible to alert somebody to some support, as exists in France and Spain, where they have a code word to a pharmacist who can then alert the police, or in the UK, where one, as far as I'm aware, one pharmacy chain has begun to do the same. So refusal, it might be that there's a refusal to let somebody have access to a telephone, just to talk to a colleague or a friend or somebody that they trust, or even a manager. And one of the things we know from research is that often before somebody who's surviving domestic violence speaks to a manager, they may just talk to a trusted work colleague first. So being denied access to the telephone can be really difficult. But it could also involve control over work resources, so destruction of work equipment such as a telephone or a computer, or using controlling tactics such as interruptions, refusing to care for children, or even constant surveillance and violence to prevent somebody carrying out work tasks. Could also mean that there are physical injuries that may make it very, very difficult for somebody to carry out their work. So we would argue, using the recognised, respond and refer model, first of all, to recognise the problem, is to respond in effective and non-judgmental ways, helping to give safety advice, you know, providing support, a listening ear. Sometimes it's just about being able to talk to somebody, but importantly also then referring on to specialist domestic violence services for information, counselling, legal advice and so on. I would like to say that if you're aware, if you're a colleague and you're aware that a colleague or a co-worker is affected by domestic violence, it's really important to encourage that person to seek support and find somebody to talk to. If you're experiencing domestic violence yourself, maybe the lockdown, confinement at home, problems at home have been exacerbated, it might be exacerbating existing violence and abuse and control taking place, or maybe it's a new experience, whatever the situation, it's important that you find some help and somebody to talk to. There are many services that are available during the crisis time, and many of them available online or by telephone. If you can find a safe space to talk to your manager as part of, for example, a work phone call, this could be an important step to take in getting some help and advice. In fact, in the second podcast, we'll be giving some more practical, detailed information about what kind of support can be given.
Thank you, Jane, and thank you to our listeners. In our next podcast, we will focus on what managers can do to support victims in the workplace, and particularly in a remote working environment.